Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
The radio home of the Buffalo Sabres. This is the Buffalo Sabres postgame show, live from KeyBank Center. Here's your host, Brian Koziol.
It was Wood. Now a chance. Far side. Wood in front. Off the bar. No, it's in. In and out in a hurry. And the Blue Jackets winning in overtime with 2:07 remaining in the extra period.
Dan Dunleavy there on the call. Miles Wood, first star honors in this one. He gets the game tire in the third and the game winner in the overtime. His third of the season, 2:53 mark of the OT. He's on the doorstep in the crease and deflects a shot under the bar to give the Columbus Blue Jackets a comeback 4-3 overtime win. As we welcome you back here to KeyBank Center on the postgame, Brian Koziol sitting next to me, Pat Malacarl, Paul Hamilton's down outside of the Sabres dressing room. He'll be heading in for player reaction here coming up in just a few moments. Well, a poor start to this game for Buffalo, but they recover. They get a 2-1 lead, a 3-2 lead, but cannot keep it as the Sabres fall in overtime here, dropping to 4-4-2 on the season. Up next is a meeting in Boston on Thursday with the Bruins, and of course we'll have that game for you right here on the Sabres radio network. Well, Pat, it was there for the Sabres. They had an opportunity not only to try to close it out in the third, but definitely the best scoring opportunities in overtime if I was going to draw the line down the sand, including a clear breakaway for one of their best goal scorers in Jiří Kulík.
Yeah, opportunity saved by Jack Greaves. A couple of odd man rushes back the other way. The Sabres unable to get a shot off on those opportunities as well. So that's the one thing when you look back at this game tonight. It doesn't result in a win. You get 1 out of 2 points. But it's not because the Sabres lacked effort, especially as this game went on. As the game kept progressing, the Sabres got better. At least they were moving better up and down the ice. Doesn't result in a win here tonight, but I do think, you know, again, you're still stacking points. You would want to get the two against Columbus in regulation. You at least get one out of this game and now continue to just rack up points game after game.
Yeah, the way this game started, I mean, I would have sat here and said late first period, oh, they get a point in this game. They don't seem like they have it tonight, but they picked it up in the second, definitely got moving, better skating. The third, opportunities there. I mean, in the end, you know, Miles Wood going to the net twice, gets it done. That's a theme that works for other teams too.
Yeah, you're right. And the game-winning goal is quite simply he's at the side of the net and the puck gets put on his stick and he just taps it in. So, yeah, in the right spot at the right time. And for Wood, two late goals in the game end up being the difference tonight. And you look over the course of this game, special teams was a factor a little bit, but it wasn't as much maybe as we've seen in previous victories for Buffalo where the power play gets on the score sheet. Not the case tonight. Again, when you're looking at reasons why you don't win in regulation and lose in overtime, you get a power play goal. There were limited chances, I get that. But if you score one out of the two there, it's a difference.
Josh Dunn got his first NHL goal. He's live in the room with Paul Hamilton.
Josh, you got your first NHL goal. If you could go through it with us and describe it for us.
Honestly, I think it was just great work for my line mates. They've been awesome for me this whole time I've been with them, and they were. won their battles, got to the puck to the point, and I got to the net, and the puck was just laying there. So I think a right place at the right time, and it was a good bounce for sure.
It seemed like your line was the one that got this thing going in the first period. It wasn't a good first period for the team. You guys got a forecheck, and it seemed like after that, the team was into it again. Is that the way you guys felt? We needed to get a forecheck going and kind of help get everybody going?
It wasn't necessarily like that, but I think for us, that's our identity as a line, is to forecheck and play hard. So it just, I think, happened that the guys started getting but I think we all kind of realized we need to pick it up, and I think as a team we collectively did that.
On a couple other shifts, you sort of took the puck and almost backed guys in towards the goal. So how do you feel you need to play with your body size?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just trying to play to my strengths, and I think one of them is kind of behind the net and puck protecting, so I try to do it as much as I possibly can. Like I said, it was honestly like big opportunities from my line mates working hard to give me those pucks.
What happened? You guys got it going in the second period. We're playing really, really well. Got the one-goal lead. How did it get away, do you think?
I thought we had a pretty good third for the most part. We did a lot of good things. They got a good bounce in that goal there. And, I mean, we still get a point in that game, but we had some good chances in the third, some good looks. So I don't think we took our foot off the gas by any means. But, just kind of the way it goes sometimes.
But at the same time, in the third period, what did Columbus do to produce their chances and that scoring chance in particular?
They're a highly skilled team that plays really aggressive, so I think some of those aggressive plays were kind of paying off for them at the time, but I thought we did a good job for the most part managing it, and like I said, they got a good bounce on that one, but we get a point out of it, which is good, and I think there's a lot to learn still.
You look like you're really starting to get comfortable here now in your play and with your line mates.
Yeah, I think that's honestly a big kudos to the team. They've made me feel right at home, and it's allowed me just to be myself in the room and on the ice, so I think it's a big kudos to the coaching staff and the guys here and the group that we have. So for me, it just makes it really easy to play my game.
You guys were with Kozak, now you're with Krebs. Is it a little bit different between the, I mean, they're different types of players.
Yeah, I think for me, either one is nice just because they work so hard, they win their battles, so they make it really easy for the guys that they're playing with, and there's so many little things that they don't get credited for throughout the game, but really valuable players that I'm very fortunate to play with.
How much do you take to heart, you know, organizationally? They want you guys to be tougher to play against. We saw that in Rochester, how tough you guys were to play against at times. How much do you just take that to heart here?
I think you see the amount of scrums we've had this year where everybody's in, and I think that's a testament to the team itself, and I think every single guy has stepped up in that regard, and we're harder to play against. We're with each other throughout, and so I think it's one of those things that's awesome to see us like coming together as a team in those moments, because it's easy to back away from some of those fights, but guys are stepping in, and I think it's awesome. It makes us play harder for each other, so it's really exciting to be a part of something like that where you know if you're in, everyone's got your back too.
Even at the end of the second period, you got under the skin of their best players and wound up getting the team a power play to start the third period. That had to be big.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't necessarily the goal there. I just saw Krebs is in there and guys were in there, and so I was going to go in there too, and then they got in there. But that's the way it goes, where if everyone's in, we're all in together. So it's awesome to see, and it's really fun to be a part of something like that.
Did you hit the post on the goal?
Hit the post on the goal.
After when you got that heavy shot down.
Oh, no, I don't honestly know where. I might have gone off the pad, but I just tried to put it toward the net, and sometimes good things happen. But, I think a lot of my play is just trying to get it around the net area and have, like, Krebs and Malenstein, they're winning their battle, so put it there for them.
Thanks, Josh. Thank Josh Dunn on the post game. I believe we have Josh Dunn right next to him.
Tonight's one of those games where we got to find a way to close out a game back-to-back with this game in Toronto now. So it's a tough one to lose, but we still got a point.
The first period, where was this team's drive to the net? It didn't produce a lot of chances.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where, yeah, we weren't great out of the gates, but if you look at some of their past games, they were out shooting good teams 18-3 and 10-3 in the beginning of games. It's been their kind of motto to start the year, so they're really good at coming out of the gates, and as a group we have to be a little bit more determined to get in front of their goalie to start games.
How much did the Krebs line really help turn the game around in your favor?
Yeah, they're unbelievable tonight. I think they had a good matchup playing against some top guys for them, and did a really good job of kind of keeping them quiet. Obviously a big goal from Donner there, and huge congratulations to him on getting his first. He's been awesome for us the last couple of games here, so they did a really good job of kind of turning momentum for us.
On your goal, when you're reading that, can you see Timmins is going to jump up like that, and you're just like, I'm going to stay put because you can see what he's doing?
Yeah, I think when you see the puck going around like that, it takes a bounce to the middle. We got a really good decor, and a decor that we trust, so it's one of those things where there's times to get back and get back on defend for them, but that's one of those plays where I think Tim had a step on the guy, and you just just got to be patient there. And Tucky makes a nice poke through the guy, and I'm fortunate to find a quiet area down by the net.
What do you make of the emotion that Josh Dunn plays with?
Yeah, he's an exciting player to watch, and I think you saw how excited he was to get his first, and how excited we all were for him. He's someone that when he's playing hard and playing good and being physical and going back and forth other teams, it gives you momentum. And he's someone that when he's out there, you feel a little bit safer because how tough he is and how strong he is too. So he's been huge for us.
I know you're not happy with the way the last two finished, but you do have points in six of the last seven. Just how much overall do you sense the team is building one game on the next?
Yeah, we gave everyone, I think, a little bit of heart attack out of the gates there this year, which was hard on us and on everybody. But I think, yeah, we're starting to trend in that right direction. I think we got to learn how to defend leads there at the end of games, because that's a position that we as a group expect to be in late throughout the year. And I think as a group, the last seven is obviously positive, and hopefully we can go find a way to get a win on the road.
You know better than anybody, what does it mean to have Kesselring back?
Yeah, obviously he's going to be a huge help for us, and I know his game pretty well. So I think you saw shades of how good he can be tonight with little slip passes and breaking pucks out. But he's someone that as he continues to play, he's going to get more confident, and I think he's just trusting his body coming off an injury, and he looked really good tonight. But I can't wait to kind of see him get into gear here.
Josh, what will it take for this team to learn how to defend those late game leads?
Yeah, I think we're a young team, so obviously experience in those situations, and I think to get experience in those situations early on in the year is going to be huge at the end of the season. It's one of those things where as a group, not that you have to dig in, but you just kind of have to trust each other and trust in the fact that you got that lead for a reason, and to kind of keep playing that kind of style that allowed you to be there. So it's one of those things where we're going to learn as a group, and we have faith that as a group we're gonna learn how to defend those leads, and the only way you can do that is by having leads at the end of games. So I think it's stepping stones, and we're trending in that right direction.
Thanks, Josh. Yeah. Josh Doan in the post game. Brian, back to you.
Thank you, Paul. Doan got the Buffalo scoring going. He tied the game up at 1 at 11:39 of the second. Then McLeod gave Buffalo their first lead. Later, Josh Dunn in early third got Buffalo its second lead, but unable to hold on for the second time. Miles Wood ties it in the third and then wins it in the overtime, 4-3, the final, Columbus over Buffalo. Okay, Lindy Ruff coming up here shortly. Pat, now two straight games. They've had a chance, opportunity in overtime to get it done. And, you know, I'd say tonight the better of the chances than they did the other night against the Maple Leafs. You know, if you look back at it here, I mean, Kulik is maybe, you know, an inch or two away on that breakaway from winning, and maybe we're having a little bit different discussion, and this team is maybe a little bit more jubilant in terms of the postgame locker room scene right now.
Yeah, and even though you lose the game and you give up the goal later in the third with about 6 minutes to go, right, like, you never felt like the Sabres were scrambling the way we've seen this team scramble late in games in the past. So, yes, it's a blown lead, and we've seen that now a couple of times in a row. It is something that will concern you if you're a Sabres fan, or even the coaching staff probably. But when you look back over this one, I never felt like they were really in serious trouble, where, you know, in the past it snowballed and ended in a regulation loss in a lot of cases.
Yeah. So Wood wins it at 2:53 as he deflects it under the bar on a nice setup one from Werenski, and that made it 4-3 Columbus, the final score tonight. The goal of the game brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. While we wait for Lindy Ruff, let's get our final stats in. They're brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. Shots in the OT, 2-1 Columbus. It ends up 38-38 in terms of the final shot totals. So now they've added one on to Columbus, so 39-38 in favor of the Blue Jackets here at the end of the night. Power plays, Columbus was 1-1, the Sabres 0-2. Again, going against the 32nd-ranked dead last penalty kill. Buffalo unable to take advantage on that tonight. Jet Greaves gets the win, 35 saves. Yes, 35 saves. And Alex Lyon, the loss, he made 35 saves as well. Your three stars, Greaves in net for the Blue Jackets, star number 3. Dunn for Buffalo, his first NHL goal, star number 2. And Miles Wood, 2 goals, the tire and the game winner, star number 1. That's your Blue Star Home Services 3 stars, your heating and cooling experts, ready to improve your home's comfort game plan. Get started at BlueStarHS.com. The attendance tonight here at KeyBank Center, it was announced 15,059. And the Sabres will next play Thursday at 7 o'clock at Boston. And then the next home game will be here Saturday to start off the November portion of the schedule. On Saturday, November 1st, 7 o'clock, as Buffalo will take on Alex Ovechkin and the Washington Capitals. Sabres fall 4-3 in OT. Here's Lindy Ruff live.
Yeah, that line had a real good night for us. Almost every shift was a positive shift. And you look at the goal they scored, got around the net. I mean, the goals that were scored in the game were all, you know, kind of tips, rebounds, stuff goalies couldn't see, screen on the power play. So we knew, like I said this morning, it would be a hard game. So we're a little disappointed we only got a point.
Team lost, you know, the lead the second time in the third period, then lost in overtime. What is this team, where are they at in the process of learning how to protect a lead?
You know, we're handling that pretty well. We're not giving up the real egregious chances, and we're still creating good chances. I think if Kulik scores in overtime, we're probably not even talking about, you know, what happened. You know, we got the breakaway right away. You know, just a little bit of failed coverage on the tying goal. You know, I thought our forward could have pressured right at the point right away. We kind of backed off for whatever reason. And it gave him an opportunity to sift one through.
Owen a little step behind in overtime in that sequence?
No, that wasn't – that. We're man-on-man there. So Kulik vacating the middle of the ice, his man was the guy that made the pass. I think if he holds, we end up killing the play. And then, you know, once he left, then, you know, now we're facing a little bit of a 2-on-3, but we got beat off the wall for sure.
And the biggest thing, you know, both of these overtimes is simply your top guys, you got to put the puck in the net when you have
a
chance.
Yeah, well, you get a chance. I mean, that's, you know that once you get one, there's probably getting one the other way because as you're going, somebody is caught. You're having a 2-on-1. If they stop it, somebody on the other team is cheating and they're going to get a chance. It's just the way it goes. And then the other scenario is you can get caught on a long one and, you know, you never get out of your own end. So, you know, failed on the 3-on-3 coverage. That's, for me, is, you know, we got to be better at that. We know every team in the league plays man on man.
Tonight, just what did you think of his debut?
Liked this game. I thought it started a little bit slow, but I thought really got his legs moving, moved the puck well. Break up passes, you know, take a look when I go through it, but I thought for the most part, I thought he skated well and executed well.
That his best look he was tonight. Like, what do you see from him?
Top of the circles down, a strong guy. Can't. I mean, even the shift after they scored, they couldn't take the puck away from him. And they had a lot of shifts against that top line. They had some tough tasks, but I thought, you know, that's what we need. It can't always be the top guys. It you know, I think the one really good chance Oslin had, we know we need him to start chipping in. That fourth line chipping in, it was in on some good chances. The McLeod line. So, you know, it's kind of getting spread out, but we need that.
Why were you so much better in the second period?
You know, I think we thought the game was a 7-18 start. And it was 6:45.
First period. Just didn't
Unacceptable.
Click at all.
The way we started.
Is that from maybe them being, you know, knowing that their penalty kill is so poor and thinking maybe it's going to be easy? Or is it just not connecting?
I don't even know how to answer that one, really.
I feel like your team kind of feeds off the emotion Josh Dunn plays with.
You know, I think our team has done a good job of feeding off whatever emotion there is in the game. I think the team did feed off that line shifts, that line's goal, their next shift. I think we fed off that energy. They were giving us real good energy. And, you know, I think if you look at our last home game, the plays that, you know, Kulik and Thompson and Benson were making, you know, we were feeding off of that. I think there's always something that really activates the bench and gets you into it. I think tonight it was done in Krebs and Mountainstein there. That's the type of shifts you need and the energy. And the bonus is, you know, putting one in the back of the net.
You're not happy with the way the last two went, obviously, and they finished, but you do have points in 6 out of 7. Just how much do you feel, you know, overall you're building a trend in the right way.
Yeah, well, I think you can look at it. Maybe last year that would have been a game that we let a point slip away. There was a lot about I liked about how we were playing that third period. I mean, probably the goal we would have gave up last year, but it might have been an odd-numbered rush, 2-on-1 or something like that. This year it was just a little bit of lack of coverage, a little bit where we didn't quite get to our guys quick enough to box them out, and we didn't get enough pressure up top. So I think that part of our game has really changed. The high odd man, you know, percentage rushes are missing, and we're becoming a team that knows how to still try to win, but don't make the egregious mistakes to lose.
Unacceptable with the first period. Obviously, you guys bounce back in the second, and the margins are so small. How big of a hole does that put you in? When, you know, 20 minutes felt like you guys just landed.
Here's the good part about the hole. It was only a one goal hole. That could have been worse. I thought our goalie gave us some good saves. I thought we came to life with about 5-6 minutes left in the period. When you're not skating, you have no hands. And I think you saw our passing was awful. We couldn't make a 10-foot pass. We couldn't make a 30-foot pass. When we got our legs going and started going north in a hurry, we started to look like a lot better team. Thanks.
Okay, that is Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff as we bring it from the media room downstairs all the way up to the press box here. Brian Colziel with you on the post game. Columbus beats Buffalo 4-3 in overtime. The Sabres are now 4-4-2. They did get another point, and they've gotten point in 6 out of 7. Lindy Ruff said, yes, that's an improvement, said they're getting better, trying to win without making the mistakes that cost you. But he said maybe last season they would have let that slip away and gotten no points. So I'd agree with that. I think last year there were some definitely games that you're like, how did they not at least get this to overtime to get that loser point? Well, back-to-back here, of course you want to win it. And here's the thing, too. In both the Toronto game and tonight, in the overtime, the Sabres had the first, I'll call it the first golden opportunity chance. In the Leafs game, they had that 2-on-1 rush with Quinn and Thompson and messed it up. And then tonight, you get the clear breakaway right away with Kulik. That's a goal scorer. So, I mean, you're getting the opening, what I would say is, you know, the golden look. And they couldn't convert on either of them. So, yes, you can talk about maybe how the goal ends up going in. You can blame Lukanen in Toronto for letting the goal in on Tavares. Or you can blame tonight maybe the coverage on Wood in front. How does he beat everybody to the net? Oh, they lost the coverage. But ultimately, in the OT, you had Quinn and Thompson. Those are money players. They didn't shoot. Tonight, you have Kulik, a goal scorer on a breakaway. He didn't score. And also, you know, you're not going up against Dominic Hasek or Patrick Waugh here. You're going up against, what, Caden Primo and Jet Greaves. So there you go. You got to convert if you're going to take that, maybe that even that next step to win these games. All right, all of our local affiliates, we're going to say goodbye to you at this time. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, go to WGR550.com or on the Odyssey app. For all of you on our flagship on WGR, appreciate you being with us. Stay tuned. More postgame coming up. We'll get Paul Hamilton's take. Well, we will get you some more highlights. Update you on those standings as the Sabres pick up a point, but every team played tonight. Pat will give us the full scoreboard, World Series update, and we'll read some tweets. Send them in at Brian WGR. 4-3, Columbus wins in overtime. I'm Brian Colziel. More postgame coming up. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Play on the far wall. Olivier turns it to the net. That's blocked. Loose puck picked up. Provorov with a shot and around traffic. Lyon snares that one.
Alex Lyon, third period save. One of his 12 stops in the third. He ends up facing 39 shots in this game, 35 saves. Unfortunately for him, it's in an OT loss as we get our save of the game there. Dan Dunleavy on the call, brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. For great deals on the entire Honda lineup, visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today. 4-3, Blue Jackets over the Sabres. Buffalo now 4-4-2. The bad news, they've lost two in a row. The good news, in both of those losses, they do get points. The bad news, in Toronto, you had Thompson and Quinn going in on a 2-on-1 with a chance to win. Two great goal scorers. Tonight, you've got Kulik going in on a clear breakaway, and they're unable to finish it. But I'll spin it the other way. Lindy Ruff said, well, maybe last year we don't get points in these games. We figured out a way to get these loser points. So I don't know how you feel about that. That's why we have Paul Hamilton. He is able to put things in perspective for us. Paul, how should I be feeling right now? Is this a bad night or a good night? The other night against Toronto, it felt more like a bad night. I don't know. How should I feel tonight?
Well, again, you're playing what I thought was a good third period. You outshot them in the last 40 minutes before overtime, 28-23, after falling behind 9-0 in shots. You outshot them 38-30 after that. So you finally got it going. You got the lead. You worked hard to get the lead. And then with 6:05 left, you got a guy who absolutely has killed you over his career in New Jersey and in Colorado and now in Columbus. That's 12 goals in 22 games. The hometown Miles Wood scored. Don't forget his dad, Randy Wood, played here in Buffalo, and that's when Miles was born.
Number 19, so, Randy Wood. I remember him.
Yes. He was part of the LaFontaine trade.
Yes.
So, so he was born here in Buffalo. So I don't know how much time he spent here, but I know he was born here. So, he gets that. And I know exactly what Lindy Ruff was talking about on the overtime goal about Kulik. Again, that is their biggest problem, is the middle of the ice defending. It is just horrendous. It's killed them all year long. Look at a lot of the goals scored against them. I would say a very good high percentage of them are because they are just goofy in the center of the ice. They don't cover anybody. They stand next to people. Kulik took off, but still, Owen Power did not have a good game, and that was not a good sequence for him. You might not blame him for the goal, but he got outworked on the wall. Kulik doesn't have his coverage, but at the end of the day, and I think you were mentioning this before we got in the locker room, it shouldn't have gotten down to John Tavares walking in on a breakaway or Miles Wood going to the net and deflecting one in. You had golden, grade-A opportunities to finish that game. Jack Quinn coming down 2-on-1 in Toronto. Jack Quinn has an absolute laser for a shot. As Lindy Ruff said in the pregame, he wants Jack Quinn on a 2-on-1. He does not want him ever passing the puck to Tage Thompson over there. He wants Jack Quinn to shoot that puck coming right down Main Street, because more times than not, he is going to score. Basically, if Jack Quinn lets that go and it's a good shot, it's a typical Jack Quinn shot, it either hits the goaltender or it's going in. He's not making the save because he shoots that hard. And then right after that, the puck somehow got back into the slot, and here comes Owen Power right down Broadway. It's just him looking at the goaltender, Caden Primo, and somehow the puck went off his stick. I still don't know how, but the puck just went off his stick, and they didn't get a chance. And next thing you know, you couldn't have asked for two better chances. And Lindy Ruff's right. On a 3-on-3, and you're pressing to get a goal, you're going to give up an opportunity at the other end. Down goes John Tavares. You don't get a big save from Lukanen, and you lose the game. Let's fast forward to this game. Yuri Kulik, a goal scorer, a guy who's more confident in the way he's playing now. Clean-cut breakaway, nobody near him. It's just him and the goaltender, Greaves. And Greaves, quite honestly, didn't look great to me in this game. And he doesn't score. So now what happens? And again, Buffalo had a puck for a lot of the overtime that was played, which is 2 minutes and 53 seconds. But when they did give up possession, you lose the battle. Power lost his battle. Kulik vacates. He cheats the zone, vacates the middle, and there's nobody there for Miles Wood. And Werenski gets it there, tipped in. You can't blame the goaltender for either one of those, really. I mean, that's not on Lyon. So, when you work so hard to keep it at 1-0, when you were playing as bad as you could possibly play, being outshot 9-0, but your goaltender's playing well, you're not, but you keep it at 1-0. And Lindy Ruff's right. in past years, we would be seeing breakaways and two-on-ones and three-on-twos. We weren't seeing that. We were just seeing a team outworking another. We were seeing a team that was moving its legs and another team that wasn't. And, you know, we talked about that in the first intermission. And then, you know, it was the Krebs line who got out there in the middle of the period, had a really good shift. Remember, Dunn came out from behind the net, had a good opportunity, couldn't score on that one. And then I would agree with Lindy Ruff, about six minutes left in the period, then it got going. Why? Because the Krebs line got charging the net and got in on a forecheck, and then other lines got in on the forecheck, and they got some opportunities. And, you know, it worked well for them. Then they got their game in the second period. They started skating. They started moving their legs. They started playing well. What happened? Well, they scored two goals to take a 2-1 lead. Unfortunately, on a power play, it was a screen. There were about four guys in front of the net. Lyon never saw it. And you give Werenski that kind of a chance, he's going to get the power play goal. So right at the end of the period, it's 2-2. But again, before the period ends, who's on the ice? The Krebs line. What do? They take the two best players of the Columbus Blue Jackets and their two leading scorers, Voronkov and Marchenko, get stupid. They decide that they want to fight Dunn and Malenstein and anybody else out there, and they wind up in the penalty box. Byram goes for Buffalo, and the Sabres start the third period with a man advantage. They didn't score on the man advantage, but it only took 2 minutes and 40 seconds to take the lead. Oh, yeah, who was on the line, or who was on the ice? The Krebs line. They all charge the net. They're all over the crease. Dunn gets his stick in there and scores his first NHL goal. You know, to me, that line was just phenomenal. I mean, Josh Dunn is very humble. He didn't want to take credit for it, but they're the line that got everybody going. So now you've got the lead. You're playing a really good third period, I thought. But, you know, at 13:55, you only have 6:05 left to protect the lead and get out of there with 2 points. And Columbus is a team you don't want to give points to. So you could have got out of there with 2 points, and Columbus gets out of there with none, just like Toronto. They scored late to tie the game with their only chance of the third period. Again, you could have left Toronto with 2 points, and Toronto could have had none. And in both cases, you give up 2 points to the other team, who are in your, one case, the division. They are both in your conference, and you only get one. So, you know, that's, you know, it's disappointing. It's nice that they're finding ways to get points, because we were talking about that in the first three games. They were basically one goal games, and they wasted three good goaltended games by Lyon. And, you know, he had a 921 save percentage. They didn't have any points, and they weren't, you know, they played a, you know, a 50-50 game in Montreal. Montreal had good parts of the game. Buffalo had good parts of the game. You get it to, you know, you got to get that to overtime. You got to leave Montreal with at least 1 point. They didn't. So there's the positive. They learned maybe from that Montreal game. And, you know, in the last two games, they were able to get it to overtime, where they were able to at least get out of there with a loser point, whether they played well or they didn't play well. But it doesn't feel good, because in both cases, if you could have said, this is the guy I want coming down in a two-on-one, this is the guy I want coming all alone down the slot, maybe you wouldn't pick Owen Power. But still, Owen Power is capable of scoring. In this game, this is the guy you want coming in on a breakaway to win the hockey game. You had it all there for you, and you weren't able to do it. So that's why it hurts if you're a Sabre fan, because – you should have walked away with 2 points in both games. You should have really walked away with 2 points, and the other team should have walked away with none. But then you should have walked away with 2 points, and the other team should have walked away with one. And in the end, you walked away with one, and they walked away with two. So you gave away a point in each game, in my mind. But it is a positive that you're starting to get loser points in games now, where before, I mean, the year they didn't make the playoffs, it was this Columbus team, I think, that had 15 loser points. Does that sound right? And Buffalo had like five? Or it was the Islanders. I'm sorry. It wasn't Columbus. And that was the difference. That's why the Islanders made the playoffs and the Buffalo Sabres didn't.
Okay, good recap, Paul. You went through a lot there. I made a note of this, so I don't want to forget to ask you about it. I thought I wrote that there were three different just individual. I know this doesn't seem like a huge impact on the game, but I think in some sense, you know, they do. These little things add up. Bo Byram, three times I wrote down, made a hustle or a smart play defensively. Once in the first period when he kind of got in the way, and I know you and I were talking about how he hit the stick. Then there was a back check late in the game, and then in overtime he did another one where he kind of eventually won a battle and stole the puck. So I don't know. You covered a lot of kind of the main things there, but that was three different times that I saw Bo Byram make a nice play that I thought helped defensively maybe stop a goal or a good scoring opportunity.
Well, you're a golf coach and a tennis coach. If you want to be a hockey coach and sound like Lindy Ruff, say almost exactly what you just said. Those are the one percenters. Yeah. And Lindy Ruff loves to talk about the one percenters. Like, those add up.
Yeah.
You know, go out and get 10 one percenters in a game. And think of what that does then, the little plays that don't show up on a stat sheet or something like that. And you're right, those were hustle plays. And those are plays we weren't – and the reason – you know why they stick out to you? Because you haven't seen them in a long time. It's rare you were seeing those types of hustle plays of people getting back, maybe because they were too far out of the play or for whatever the reason, maybe because it was a 3-on-2 or a 3-on-1 or a 3-on-0 or there was an egregious turnover where nobody was going to get back. You're not seeing those drastic errors. You're seeing errors that maybe lead to some chances, which allow a good hustle play to happen. And you're right. I had in my notes, too, that Byram wound up with three of them.
Yeah. All right, so Boston next, Paul, another divisional team. The Bruins are, you know, in terms of being in the standings, they're right there with Buffalo. They both will enter this game with 10 points. The Bruins won tonight. So here's another one of those chances. Not only do you want to win for yourself, but you want to win to try to push these other teams down. So they'll have another crack coming up here Thursday and a little chance for revenge because the first game in Boston obviously didn't go as well as they would have liked.
Yeah, they didn't play well. But remember, at the end of the day, they didn't play well, and it didn't become a two-goal game till there was 3 seconds left in the game. That's when, was it Geeky or whoever it was, scored the empty net goal. Or no, it wasn't Geeky. It was Corrali.
Corrali, yeah.
Scored the empty net goal. And it was only 3 seconds left in the game. So, really, that was a one-goal game. As bad as Buffalo was in parts of that game, it was still only a one-goal game. And when they had the goaltender pulled, they could have maybe stolen a point out of there.
Yeah, Corrali got the empty netter with 3 seconds left. Zucker scored halfway through the third to cut it to 2-1. Yeah,
and
that was their first goal of the season, by the way.
When you don't have your A game, find a way to get a point. And all they had to do is score where the goaltender pulled, and you would have found a way to get at least 1 point. Who knows? Maybe you would have scored, although they're really not playing very well in overtime these days. You know, they have to shore that up, and they have to shore up their defense in the middle of the ice. That is just horrendous. Too many goals where guys are wide open or Sabres are standing there but not covering their guy or not lifting a stick or – you know, that is their biggest problem that they have to correct right now is too many open guys in the middle of the ice.
Yeah. And again, in overtime, Paul, think about the conversation right now that we are having. If Thompson and Quinn finish that rush in Toronto and Kulik finishes this rush tonight, that's even throwing aside anything that we would want to change in regulation before that point.
Instead of talking about 4-1 and 2, we'd be talking about 6-1.
Yeah.
That's a big difference. So,
yeah.
You know, talking about 6-1 and instead of talking about 4-1-2. Now, you still have gotten points in all but one game. So that's a success.
Yes.
That's better than what we saw last year. But, you know, there's some points being left on the table also.
Yeah. And last thing on the standings here, and I'll let you go then, Paul. They're right here in the sense that, like, there's a log jam. You know, you are 1 point out of a wild card spot. You are 1 point out of third place in the Atlantic, but you're also 2 points out of last. So right now, the start of the season here, it doesn't seem like a lot of people want to separate. There's a lot of these OT games, a lot of three-point games, so the standings are jumbled. I guess if you want to spin it in a positive way, in previous seasons throughout this drought, even just a month in, it felt at times like, uh-oh, you're getting yourself in a hole here. What are you going to do? You know, and at least now they're in the jumble. So I don't know if that's good news, but I guess it's not.
Well, they were last year. Remember that streak started right at the end of November, the 13-game streak, and they were in third place, 2 points out of second in the division. So they were still in it Thanksgiving time. It was the West Coast. I believe it was San Jose that they got their last win before the streak started, the 13 games. And at that win put them in third place in the division. It wasn't even a wild card spot. It was in the division. And only 2 points behind the Florida Panthers for second place. I think there were only 3 points behind Toronto for first place. So they were doing exactly what you're talking about into late November. And then the 13 games happened, and they were out of it by Christmas time.
Okay, Paul, appreciate your work tonight. Thanks so much. We will talk to you Thursday from Boston.
Okay, talk to you then.
All right, Paul Hamilton with us here on the postgame as Buffalo falls in overtime by a 4-3 margin. All right, we're going to read some tweets here as we get connected with our fans, powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today, and then we'll get the big scoreboard from Pat. And it's big because it's never been bigger, Pat. Everybody's playing today.
All 32 teams, 16 games plus baseball, so let's get to that in a minute.
Yeah, first let's read some tweets. We always read them. After each and every game at Brian WGR. Mike saying, talking about Doan, I said, look, you know, they need to be a little bit more determined in front of the goalie earlier in games. He says, Mike says, this kid is quickly becoming a player who should wear the C. I don't know if I would go there right away. He's 10 games into his Sabres tenure, but there are qualities that are captain-like that you're hearing and seeing from Josh Doan.
And there are qualities that maybe we haven't seen from a lot of other players, at least with this frequency from Doan, that make him a player that fans really, I think, can get behind really quickly. And, you know, having thoughts like that or just the excitement to have him on the team, seeing him make plays like that.
Jim, with two comments, says, Krebs was terrific tonight. That line Lindy Ruff mentioned, Krebs, Malenstein, and Dunn was very good. He also says, I feel like they gave away 2 points the last two games. They got to fix that. We obviously have talked about that quite a bit here tonight. The opportunities there with your quality, high-scoring best players with opportunities to win those games in Toronto and tonight.
Yeah, and in terms of the line with Peyton Krebs, I mean, that's where he's going to be most effective, is that line that keeps the energy going or picks up the energy for the team when they're needing it and giving them spark. I mean, we've seen Peyton Krebs for a couple of years now. He's not necessarily going to be a big goal scorer, but he's trying to agitate other teams to the point where maybe he gets you an extra power play here or there. And in a season where the Sabres, you know, at times have been streaky on the power play, that can be a difference in a game.
Ryan says here, the best way I can describe my interest in the Sabres right now is they haven't won me totally over yet, but they haven't lost me either. That is progress from the past few years. They show signs of compete, but I really can't stand this sometimes phony toughness I think they're trying to portray at times.
I think this is the wait-and-see mode of what fans have seen now for several years, last season included, but Paul just laid out right at the end about the team being in a playoff spot in the division right at American Thanksgiving last year, and then eventually the long losing streak that takes them right out of it. So this is important, and it's important for the Sabres to continue to get points and to continue to racking up wins as the season goes on. But it's so important to stay out of the lull of those big losing streaks that suck all the momentum that you've built up out of it and take you out of a chance at a playoff spot.
A lot of comments about Owen Power and him with Wood at the net. I know Lindy Ruff explained it was he, when asked about Power at the net, he actually went away and said that Kulik needs to be better on the wall. That ends up making that play. So while Lindy maybe didn't fully address what he felt about Power on that play, he also said maybe it could have been avoided.
Yeah, we'll see. That's the thing about defensemen is young defensemen take different amounts of time, even though you're the number one overall pick just a handful of years ago. You just never know when a defenseman's going to finally figure it out. And for Owen Power, I'm sure he's hoping it happens much sooner and gets more consistency into his game. But I think the thing we know is it's going to happen at some point.
That's right. Thanks for the tweets. We read them every game at Brian WGR as we get connected with our fans. Powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. 4-3 Columbus, the final. Buffalo 4-4-2. We will update you on the standings right after Pat tells you what happens in the league tonight. And Pat, I know you're Blue Jays are looking good at Dodger Stadium. You've got that update as well.
Yeah, thanks, Brian. It's brought to you by Feger, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys. We'll start out at Chavez Ravine, where the Blue Jays have added three runs in the top of the seventh inning, a 3-1 lead now 6-1. The Blue Jays extending their lead and trying to even up the best-of-seven series against the National League's best Dodgers at two games apiece. A victory tonight would ensure that the World Series Commissioner's Trophy would be handed out north of the border no matter what over the weekend. Game 5 tomorrow night will be played in L.A. 8:08. Friday, Game 6. Saturday, Game 7, if necessary still. Again, with the Dodgers leading that series 2-1, but Toronto with a 6-1 lead now in the top of the seventh. Now to what has been dubbed the Frozen Frenzy, another straight year of all 32 teams in the league playing in the same night. Games going on right now in the third period. Tampa Bay has a 3-1 lead over Nashville. Three different goal scorers. Goals in all three periods for the Lightning have them leading the Predators again 3-1, 4:10 to go in the third period there. The Wild have erased a two-goal deficit. Kirill Kaprizov gets his sixth of the year, one of the three goals for the Wild as they lead the Jets 3-2 with 10 minutes to go in the third period. Just underway, 5 minutes into the third in St. Louis. The Red Wings have scored four unanswered goals, including Dylan Larkin's seventh of the season. It's Detroit 4, St. Louis 1. Also, Connor Bedard a pair. The Blackhawks lead the Senators 4-3. Ottawa scoring three times in the second to get back into that contest after surrounding the first four goals of the game. But again, 4-3, 5:09 to go in the second period. Late stages of the second in Dallas, where Taylor Seguin's third of the year has given the Stars a 1-0 lead over the Capitals. It's the Avalanche 3-0 leaders over the Devils. Victor Olofsson scores his first goal for Colorado in that contest. Another former Sabre, J.J. Paterka's fourth of the year. Mammoth 2-0 leaders over the Oilers after 20 minutes. Also, 8 minutes into the opening period in Vancouver, the Canucks and Rangers are scoreless. Coming up in 10 minutes, the Kraken host the Canadiens. While the last game of the night, the final two teams in the league to step onto the ice are the Kings and the Sharks, meeting in San Jose at 11. Also, Brian, a couple of finals in a shootout. The Flyers upend the Penguins 3-2. It was the Maple Leafs in regulation 4-3 over the Flames. The Golden Knights double up the Hurricanes 6-3. Jack Eichel, a couple of goals, 4 in the third for Vegas in that contest. A shootout for the Ducks. They defeat Florida 3-2. And the Bruins 5-2 winners over the Islanders. I'm going to take a breath.
All right. Yes, you should. Tons of scores there. Did you hear the story about Sandy Koufax at the game last night?
I did not.
Sandy Koufax, 89 years old, attended Game 3, sat in the stands, stayed for all 18 innings, then eventually went into the Dodgers locker room afterwards and met Will Klein to congratulate him after the game. He's back tonight watching again in the stands, Koufax is.
They don't make them like they used to, Brian.
Back in my day, I used to walk to school in 6 feet of snow both ways.
Uphill both ways.
Yeah. That's right.
Critical part of the story there.
That's right. I mean, you know, sitting in Southern California watching the World Series, I'm not saying this is intensive labor, but good for Sandy Koufax, 89 years old, and then going into the room, into the locker room afterwards, and that's pretty cool.
It is. He's such a visible presence in a face of the Dodger franchise from their days, early days in L.A., so always great to see some of the all-time greats, one of the best left-handed pitchers of all time, if not for Warren Spahn. So, yeah, he's one of the best of all time.
To localize this, I always say that the Bills Super Bowl teams and even the non-Super Bowl teams, look at, we had another one here tonight, Stevie Johnson.
Yep.
It was Bills night here at KeyBank Center. It was in the host tonight here, one of our MCs inside the building, but a ton of former Bills who even still live in the area, they are around and embracing the team, and I mean, couldn't be as more supportive to the current team as you see, you know, an example there from Koufax doing that. But
yeah, Thurman Thomas.
I have a feeling we're going to see Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas, Steve Tasker, all these guys when they're 89 years old doing the same thing for whoever is the current set of Bills at that point.
Yeah, a great set of ambassadors for a franchise linking the past to the present and even the future. So you're right. It's always fun to see that connection between the fans and all those former players.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pat.
Thanks, Brian.
All right. Enjoy the rest of the World Series tonight. Hopefully you'll get a couple of games up in Toronto here to see what Friday and Saturday they would be.
It would be Friday Game 6, Saturday Game 7 up in Rogers Center. Yes.
Okay. Start working on a front row seat for me for yeah. that. I know they might be a little more expensive. I don't know. We'll see.
If I win the Mega Millions, I'll take care of
you. Then you'll take care of me. I love it. Thank you. Yeah. Let's hope we win the Mega Millions. That'd be great. Anyway, with that, Sabres fall in overtime. We're going to wrap things up here on our post game. Want to thank our crew, TJ Luckman, our network producer, back in our Amherst studios. Thank you, TJ. Tom Maddy, our on-site engineer here at KeyBank Center. Pat Molicaro, Jonathan Colziel, Paul Hamilton, all part of our crew here at KeyBank Center. Shope on the Bulldog on the pregame, and of course our great announcers Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray. My name is Brian Colziel. I thank you for listening. Again, the final at overtime, Columbus 4, Buffalo 3. Enjoy the rest of your evening. We will talk to you Thursday. Sabres and Bruins from Boston, right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everyone.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.